Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and I am the host of this show. Mr. 2020 is my guest tonight. Many may wonder where he is and what he's been up to. Well, we're just about to find out. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Mr. 2020. Hello, 20.
Good morning, Kate. Can you
hear
me, Kate?
How are you? I can.
I'm wonderful. Excellent.
I hear you very well, very well. So
cool.
It's 7 a.m. where you are in your part of the world at this moment?
Right now it's 9:01 a.m. It is, what is
9:01.
Today's Wednesday? Yep, today's Wednesday, 9 in the morning. And it's great to hear your voice. Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful to hear your voice. So you are in Australia.
Yes.
The land down under.
it's absolutely beautiful here. We're heading into winter. You guys are heading into summer, and it's a little that's a wild thing to be heading into winter during whatever. It's just wild. Hello, Kate. Nice to hear you. And where do you want to go today? I've got some things I'd love to share and
answer
any questions that you got.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all want to know what happened to you, and I think maybe some people do know and some people don't. So some people don't even know you're in Australia, from what I understand. So, yeah, let us know what the inner journey has been like.
Wow, the inner journey, I tell you, I'll start a little tiny bit with the outer journey. I flew down here last October 26th. To meet up with a group of Forex traders that I've been working with. And, it's sort of funny. October 26th is one of those weird dates for me, apparently. October 26th, 1989, I had the option to go to work, and I was working as a prison guard back then. And that was the day I was taken hostage and the day that opened up an entirely new chapter in my life. And October 26th of last year, 2010, literally the same thing happened. You know, I basically came down here to, hang out and do some, just be with a group of Forex traders that I've been working with. And again, a whole new chapter of my life opened up. I was working through some stuff this morning, and we had three phrases show up we were talking about, and one of them is Forex related, but all three of them fit really, really well. You mentioned the inner journey. The three phrases are trade with the trend, go with the flow, and follow the calling of your spirit. And literally that's what the outer journey has been like, the inner journey has been like, and it's been a journey of being reborn and mm-hmm. Just fascinating.
Wow, I didn't know that about the date thing. That is totally kind of explains it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really wild because, I got a lot of stuff was shifting back at that point in my life, but I had no idea to what degree or in what ways. And I really do think that... another concept I've been sharing with a lot of people, or actually two. One, love really is all that is. And two, we live for God's entertainment. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I've said that to some people, and they say, oh, that's terrible. I said, no. We live for God's entertainment. We live for our entertainment. You know, literally, when I look at like the weird coincidences that show up in my life, like dates and numbers and themes and stuff, I don't think life's meant to be a struggle or it's meant to be working. Yeah, I'm sure we can struggle and I'm sure we do work off past karma, quote unquote. But literally, you know, life is an adventure. And you never know what kind of adventure you can be on until you really step into it and, you know, accept the help and the love that you can from people and also give the love and the help you can to the people around you.
Yes. Yeah, love is the answer to everything, really. It's the solution and the answer.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. In the past 6 months, I've been down here for just over 6 months. When I come from fear, when I come from desire, literally I can feel the pressure and I can tell how it holds things back. And on
yeah.
the other hand, when I come from love and acceptance and forgiveness and simply just opening up to what's possible, miracles. Miracles are nonstop.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So it's like turning a switch, isn't it?
Yes. Yep. When go ahead.
It must be. Do you feel like you're at home there?
Yeah, I tell you what. The wild thing. When years ago, I had attempted to move to Austin, Texas, and we looked at houses down there. We did a whole bunch of work on moving down there, and it just didn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first arrived here back in October of last year, as soon as I walked out of the airport, my first thought was, it feels like Austin, but much, much bigger. The magnitude was just much, much bigger. The land down here, a lot of it reminds me of the area around Austin in the hill country of Texas. The smells are different in some ways, but it was really weird. I had that thought, and I also realized immediately that I'd come home.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is an adventure in coming home in many, many ways.
Wow. I have to ask this question. They don't really take well to people moving there and staying there, do they?
I'm not sure. What do you mean?
For you to stay there forever, if there is such a thing, you know, because I think you probably move around a lot, that they don't take kindly to Americans moving in and staying, is from what I understand. That's certainly true in New Zealand, and I think it's a little true in Australia. But I hope that it's true, yeah.
It's interesting. I'm working through the immigration process. And it's fascinating being in a country where there definitely is a concern. There's a focus on the quality of people that are showing up and staying, so on and so forth. There's definitely a the energy here is very interesting. It sort of reminds me of America in the 70s. There's an openness. There's a innocence. There's a movement here that's really, really wonderful, and let's say progressive, that I haven't come across much in the United States. And it's sort of balanced with the whole idea of, you know, what we want, the kind of people we want moving here and living here are people that are like that. So there definitely seems to be a thing with the whole immigration process and you know residing permanently here that involves that kind of
energy.
Energy. Yeah. Exactly.
Mhm. Mhm. That is a fascinating. I just always wondered about that. We have a full chat room, and I don't think you're there, so you can't really see that. And Carol is there. Carol,
cool. Hello.
I
tried to get in the chat room, but I wasn't able to. I had flash crash on me. So, for everybody in the chat room, hello, and you know, please talk, you know, anything you want to bring in from the chat room, Kate, please do. I'd love to, you know,
yeah,
say
please.
Hello and make sure acknowledge everybody.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So it says guest. Then there's a Mandoff and a Carol Wingert. And I'm sure that you and your relationship with Carol has gone through a transformation, just judging from her responses over the last few months and how seeing her evolution in response to you. So, I mean, I have a little bit of experience with that because my husband is divorced his wife, and she's very much a part of my life and our life. I wouldn't want it any other way. But I think that it says a lot about the two of you. If this is true, you can say if it's not, that you have evolved in your relationship and have continued to embrace each other probably as in a different way, of course, obviously, than you would have before. But so tell us about that evolution. I'm sure that's very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably been one of the most wonderful parts with everything. Carol has been extremely and continues to be extremely supportive. And it's really wild because as that part of the inner journey here has involved me, you know, obviously having to let go, having to change, having to embrace. I mean, just all sorts of different things we could explore. And the days where I'd be, you know, beating myself up or in a loop in my head, you know, oftentimes I would, you know, be chatting with her on the phone over Skype, and she'd say, "Hey, stop it. You know, just, you know, things are what they are. They will be what they will be. And, stop it. You know, mm-hmm. you know, literally, there's a phrase down here in Australia, it's all good. And I really love that. A lot of people, when they talk to each other, they'll call each other up and just say, "Hey, love, what's going on?" You know, there's an embracing there, which is beautiful. And when Carol and I talk, there's an embracing there, which is just wonderful. Because, a couple years ago, we did a course where I modeled Werner Erhard, and one of the things that Werner brought up was you can't make a distinction that's anti-something. And to put it real briefly, if we're going to make a distinction that makes a difference in our lives, it's got to be pro-something. Being anti-war is not the same as being pro-peace. And it's been really cool because, like, literally, as I watch Carol's growth and transformation as well, you know, Carol gets to become pro-Carol, which is really cool. She could become anti-Mr. 2020, but that wouldn't serve her or me. And it's fascinating. I suspect that she could become she's got some projects going on that I can't talk about, and she's got some going on she won't even tell me about. But, I suspect part of what she's working on, and I know part of what she's working on really can involve that level of empowerment. Because there's a huge possibility out there for embracing pro life, pro love, pro possibility is so much different than anything that's anti. So there's sort of trying to loop in on my thinking right here. It's enjoyable and it's an honor for me to be a part of her journey as she grows and embraces Carol and empowering women and the programs that she'll be developing through that. So cool.
Empowering women,
and,
you say? Did you
yes,
say?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, I think it is about forgiveness, isn't it? Because Carol just mentioned this in the chat room. Also that Dale and Pam from Florida are also guests in the chat room. But anyway, she was saying that forgiveness is seemingly the theme here for her, and that the most important person we all need to forgive is ourselves. So we
you
need
bet.
To forgive ourselves all the way through, and then once we forgive ourselves, everybody else is just automatically forgiven. You can't look out of yourself and decide to forgive, or she can't look out of herself and decide to forgive you. Or
yes.
vice versa. She has to just sit down and really think about how she is 100% responsible for her own life. You know, everything that comes up all these things that do come up in situations like what confronted the two of you, and it's, you know, you do go through pain, suffering, and anguish. And so you look at those things and you say, what is it that I need to change about myself? How do I forgive myself for going through this? And I need to be honest with myself. And then once that happens, then automatically everything else is okay.
Yes.
I think what we do is we tend to think that we have to look outside ourselves and forgive other people. Well, that's not it.
What if there is nobody else there? What if we can really start to accept, if we really start to accept the love and possibility that we are, you know, everything else is a cakewalk. You know, literally, I think one of the most addictive drugs that's on the planet is guilt. And we can attempt to give it to other people. We definitely give it to ourselves. And, you know, going back to the Bible, judge not lest you be judged. Once we stop judging ourselves and stop judging others, and literally, I was talking with the other night. I was in a conversation that was really, really cool, and one of the things that showed up was this. Honest to God, I'm 45 years old. As far as I can tell, we cannot control what the outcome of anything is going to be. We can have a goal, we can have a focus, and we can work towards that, which I definitely do, and I'm sure most of the listeners do. But we can't possibly predict or control the outcome. We never know the amazing miracles and possibilities that are around the corner. And,
right.
And so literally, I've got an outcome in mind of living permanently here in Australia. And I hope I do. However, what's even more important than that is that the whole process behind all that comes from love and acceptance and possibility and presence. If I approach, you know, my outcome of living permanently in Australia with love and acceptance and forgiveness and loving presence, that automatically gives to the whole world. And
yeah.
It gives to me and it gives to the people around me. And that's the only thing I can really have any real influence or control over. You know, on today's show, if I come from love, integrity, forgiveness, acceptance, that gives to the whole audience, that gives to the whole world, that gives to the people that are working outside the yard here cutting trees. And it will support me moving here permanently or me getting my full residency taken care of. Whether or not I do.
Say that doing that without any adapting the attitude that you're talking about without any desire for outcome. I mean, in other words, you're not doing it for the outcome. You're doing it because you know it's the only way to live.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, you can't do it because you really believe if you do it, the payoff is to live in Australia. It's not going to work that way. It works just by being who you are, which is love, and you do practice that, and you do exemplify that. So by doing that, you're not doing it for any reason but just to do it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the fun part is, you know, I just might get to live here forever as a resident. The fun part also is I get to be love.
Yeah.
Whether or not I'm on the show, I get to be love as I do the dishes. I get to be love as I go out and talk to the tree cutters. That's the gift. If I can simply be that gift, that's marvelous. And the beautiful thing, we attract what we are. We attract what we realize we are. And the neat thing is I don't always remember or notice this. There are times when if I get into a funk or if I'm extremely tired or whatever, and when I forget, there are people around me that remind me, hey, remember, you are love. Remember, forgive yourself. Don't get hooked in this guilt loop. Remember, accept the miracle of possibility because you never know. Here's something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
In 45 years, I've never gone without a meal. I've never gone hungry. I'm warm, full, and dry. And when we talk about living by faith and accepting everything by grace, you know, one of the things which I do now for income is trade Forex. I'm working with the Forex traders, and I've learned a lot about that. It literally always graced me. I accidentally got into internet marketing. I accidentally became a Kung Fu master. Everything I've done really is by accident. I didn't intend to become a Kung Fu master. I just wanted the neighborhood bully to leave me alone. I never intended to become an internet marketer. I just didn't want to have to try to teach 30 hours a week because it's tough to make a living teaching martial arts. Everything I've done, I'm an accidental Forex trader. But if I just notice that, I get to go, I wonder what my next accidental adventure gets to be. And I get to notice that what I get to do is bring love to it and bring acceptance to it and bring possibility to it just by staying open and responding to what is. Yes.
What is a Forex trader?
A Forex trader, basically what we do is we look at charts. And, this is one way to do it. I look at charts and notice, let's say, how the value of the Australian dollar and the U.S. dollar compare. And basically, you could say, what I do is predict it'll go in a specific direction in the next, let's say, 15 minutes to an hour. And I control a block of currency, and if it works in my direction, I actually make a few dollars, which is pretty cool. Investing in stocks or bonds in a real short-term way.
Well, it sounds like it might be certainly practiced differently there than it would be on Wall Street or whatever.
Yeah, without
a
doubt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, that's interesting. Now, and are you doing that at home, from your home?
Yeah, literally it can be done on a computer. What's really cool, what's really cool with it all, I look at it all by grace. Definitely there's skill sets involved and the decisions that have to be made and so on and so forth when you're working trading Forex, for example. Really, it is all grace to me. I look at it all, the fact I get to hang out with a man who many consider to be the second greatest trader in the world. I get to hang out with him a lot and do work with him. It's all grace, being able to work with him, being able to trade Forex. Here's a thought that's shown up a lot, and I've got 1,001 stories around the honeybee, and Carol just, I guess, got a photo published in Grit with a honeybee, which is pretty cool. It's got a neat story about it. But, honeybees, and this is a gift I'd love to give to the audience today. What if we stopped focusing on earning and started focusing on working? And it's just two words, but it's two powerful words. Because when I look at nature, I'm surrounded by beautiful nature here, except that, well, even today, but there's people at the Renaissance that are driving me crazy. In nature, I don't see anything having to earn. Like, I don't see the honeybee earning, and I don't see the bird earning. I do see them all working. And literally what the bee does, what the honeybee does, is the same thing as Lance, the Forex guru that I work with down here, does. The honeybee goes out there and it does its job, and its job is to literally bliss out inside of a flower. So the honeybee goes out, it finds pollen, and it dances inside the flower, and then it takes the pollen back to the hive where it produces nectar and honey. Literally, the honeybee is without the honeybee, the whole world stops because pollination pretty much stops. So the honeybee literally just it works, but it doesn't earn. And when I toss that out, this is a huge thing that I hope the listening audience really enjoys and gets the profoundness of. On the other hand, human beings, we've got this thing about earning trust, earning love, earning forgiveness, earning acceptance, and it's literally part of the insanity that we have as humans, because I don't have to earn anything. All I have to do is work every day, trade Forex, do the dishes, produce and market an internet product, whatever. But if I just focus on doing the work, literally I can dance like the honeybee. But on the other hand, if I make it about earning love and earning forgiveness and earning respect, that adds so much pressure into the equation. And it's unnatural, because nothing outside these doors in nature, when I look at nature, it all works, but none of it earns. And literally when we go from earning to just working, we get to experience the grace of the universe, the grace of God, and the miracle that we are. Because,
that is a great juxtaposition, isn't it? Because earning, earning love, earning respect, and all this is just built out of guilt and shame. You were talking about guilt earlier. It's just total guilt and shame. Yeah, it's really low on the consciousness scale.
Yep. Last week, and this is really weird. Before last week, we spent a week in New Zealand because every 90 days I have to leave the country on the current visa that I have. And, and so we spent a week in New Zealand. We rented a camper van and just bounced around the countryside. And literally, living in a camper van for a week is like living inside of a mobile piece of graffiti. Yeah, I mean, they've got all sorts of weird stuff painted on the side. They're really a hoot. You can see some photos on my Facebook page. So we're traveling around the southern island of New Zealand, and we end up rolling up on this little bay called Lebans Bay. And sure enough, we wake up in the morning, and we've got like a cup of water, and we're kilometers. We're at least 15, 20 kilometers away from a grocery store. And so we have no water. So we're parked on this bay. There's a little community around us that's mostly holiday houses. So there's nobody there. And so what we end up doing is taking an empty water bottle and a walk. And we end up walking up to this one house. And this guy says, we asked him, is there any chance we could buy some water off of you? And he goes, no, but I'll give you some. So he gives us some water. We sit down. And two things happen, which are really, really cool. One, he says, would you like a cup of coffee? And sure. So he gives us coffee. Two, while we're sitting there, a honeybee lands on the bottle and just starts like crawling around it. A few minutes later, a bumblebee lands on the bottle. And then there's a little statue of a bee on the table. Now, the cool thing is the guy says, I never have problems with bees here. And I sort of giggle a little bit because the whole bee thing, again, it takes me back to the whole grace thing. The guy wouldn't sell us water, but he would give us water. He also gave us coffee. So we got to drink coffee, have a delightful conversation with this fella. He showed us some maps to help us understand where we are and where we can go, so on and so forth. And literally, we were a gift to him, and he was a gift to us, all in a way because we forgot water. And literally, we couldn't earn the water. The only thing we could do is do the work, take a walk and ask for water. And we got to make a friend, got to have a little honeybee story. And literally, the honeybee to me is the messenger of we don't have to work. I'm sorry, we don't have to earn. All we got to do is work. You know, even like when the Hebrews were in the desert, they had to work. They had to walk and carry their stuff along for 40 years. But God gave them manna. God gave them what they needed every day. Every day I get what I need. And I get to discover what I need every day. It truly is a marvelous universe. And we are miracles within it. And we live by grace. So tiny little story that sort of loops around a bit.
Yeah, there's nothing like the honeybee to exemplify that. Absolutely.
Mm.
So true. Yes. And it sounds like it's very laid back there, where people actually have time to sit and talk with each other. It's not so rush, 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 and people are just thinking that they have to be in a rush, which is really a victim mentality. In my opinion, a lot of people live from that place of being a victim, and one of the big places where that shows up is I have no time, I have to do this, I have to do that. You know, it's not from a place of joy.
Yep. So when we did that course a couple years ago where we modeled Werner Erhard, we also modeled Tim Ferriss. And Tim Ferriss is the author of the 4-Hour Workweek. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Tim brought up that we're exploring here as well is, what are you going to do with your time when money's not an excuse to be stressed out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I look at people, like literally, we have this. We've got two forces in our life. This is another model that we're playing with. We've got the invitation, and we've got temptations. And temptations are multiple. There's a temptation to rush around, a temptation to force, a temptation to make something happen. And then there's the invitation to simply be present, simply be the miracle, simply notice what you're being provided with right now. Simply step back and experience, you know what, I have to work. I've got to do something. But I don't have to rush. I don't have to force. In Forex, we say there's always another trade. So if you miss a trade, there's going to be another trade in 15 minutes or so. So mm-hmm. why stress out?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
That's very true. Let me see. There's somebody else on the line. There is somebody else on the line. Let me just see who that is.
Cool.
Hello there. Hi. Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
This is Dell.
There
hey,
you
Dell.
Go.
Hi. How are
Welcome.
You?
Welcome. Thanks for calling up.
Thank you.
Hey, buddy.
20. How are you doing?
Dell, I am wonderful today. It's 9:30 a.m. I've got a cuddly little fire. And, gosh, I'm talking with wonderful people and love hearing your voice.
Yeah, we're in Nashville tonight.
Wow.
We're going on stage in about 2 hours.
Rock on.
One way or the other.
It wouldn't surprise me. Cool. Cool. Kate, this is my friend, I call him Diamond Dell Baird because he literally is a diamond to me. And Dell's another
Hi,
one
Dell.
Of that. Dell.
Well, I've heard you before somewhere along these shows and stuff, so it's nice to hear you again. And
oh,
welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So have you guys been speaking to each other, or is this the first time you've been, you know, connected for a while?
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. You know, I haven't spoke to him since we speak all the time.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
right, Dell.
Cool. That's good. Well, you if not in reality, probably telepathically.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be that way because if we didn't see each other, we'd know we each other was there somehow.
Right. Yeah.
Dell is another one of the people. You know, if I could toss something that really is wonderful into the mix, we mentioned forgiveness and literally, if we take the words and we go giving forth. Dell ran a very successful pawn shop enterprise in Pennsylvania, and I'd never seen anyone give more than him. You know, literally to people that would walk through the door, and literally one of the things that seems to open the door to all these miracles and possibilities and really getting that it is all by grace and that life is an adventure is the power of thankfulness and again, thanksgiving. You know, forgiving, thanksgiving. There's something about the power of giving, which is, you know, the old Native American economies, they were all based on giving. You know, if somebody died, there was a giveaway. If somebody was born, there was a giveaway. If there was a breakup, there was a giveaway. If there was a marriage, there was a giveaway. And literally, Dell and I were part of 8 people that went on a cruise a couple years ago. And the joke after the cruise was you could tell what day it was because Dell kept giving jewelry away. Because we'd hit these little islands. And, actually, I have no idea where all we went, the little islands in Mexico and all those places. And literally, Dell would give away jewelry every day. And sorry if I'm revealing secrets, Dell. But literally, you could tell what day it was based upon how little jewelry Dell had on. Because he started out the week looking like Mr. T. And by the end of the week, there was nothing left. And you mentioned about the energy here in Australia with being more laid back. It really is. People are willing to give each other time. And that, to me, is precious because money comes and goes. You know, we can make a ton of money. We can lose a ton of money. We've all been there. But time is the thing. You know, the listeners taking the time to listen into the show, you taking the time to allow me to come on, Dell taking the time to call in. You know, money, you know, gosh, give it away. You know, give away some goodies. Give away some stuff. If you want to get free, just give away your stuff. You know, we limit ourselves. We define ourselves by stuff so often versus what happens if we give it away and discover the possibilities. You know, what if we, you know, just start, you know, really noticing the gift of how precious life is, how precious time is.
Mm-hmm.
So, sweet.
Yeah. That's so true. And I think we're still all on. All of a sudden, it sounded so silent.
Wow.
Is everybody? It was a huge. It's like almost like some sort of reunion here. You have Dell, and then you have see if I can think of, get his name here.
Carol.
Carol. And Mando is there.
Mondo's there. Hello,
yeah,
Mondo.
Mondo,
of course, beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, Mondo.
So somebody wondered when you were coming back to visit. Is that something in your plans?
Yeah, you know, a lot of that's going to depend upon the way I've got to work with immigration, so on and so forth, and also, you know, the way, to be honest, I don't know. Literally, like part of the immigration process, you know, we're going to be making some decisions here this week, exploring the possibilities. One of them will require that I stay in the country during the whole process. Another one will require that I leave the country for a number of weeks, perhaps. So a lot of, when I return to the States, who knows? Ideally, the flight's pretty hard on me. I have no idea how many hours it is. It's got to be around 30 hours total time from Pennsylvania to Australia. So if I came back to the States, I might not even make it to Pennsylvania at first. I may just try to stay on the West Coast because the flight's just, it's hard on the body.
There's ways of dealing with jet lag. I'm sure we could come up with ways for you to do that. I just right now I'm failing, and I could think about that in the next few minutes. But yeah, I mean, there's always ways of dealing with stress on the body.
Yes. Ideally, in the event that I'd have to stay outside of the country for a while, I wouldn't mind hanging out in New Zealand for a bit. It is a beautiful country over there as well.
I'm sure.
The land sort of reminds me of your region of the United States. If you look at like Pennsylvania, West Virginia, a lot of the land in New Zealand, the topography reminds me of that. The plants are pretty different. The plants are similar to what you got, but also with a tropical twist.
Mm-hmm.
Just a beautiful, beautiful land. So in the event that I'd have to spend some time outside of the country, odds are I'll probably go to New Zealand and hang there for a bit. But I would just be able to stay here straight up.
So you actually have to stay there for a certain amount of time, and then you have to leave for a certain...
Yes. Yeah. Basically, right now with my current visa, I have to leave every 90 days, and then come back like 5 days after that. So, and that's not too bad. It sort of busts things up a little bit and gives us a time to, just explore what life's really about. Yeah, you know, one of the things that's shown up here, and I'm just gonna just share what I got, unless you've got a direction you want me to go in. When working with the Forex folks, there seems to be a tendency to almost get obsessive about trading. And the Forex guru guy, we were in a meeting the other night, and he said, look, he spent years trading to the point where he couldn't relate to humans anymore. And, he basically said, I don't want you doing that. You know, make your quota and stop trading. Make your quota and get back living your life. Make your quota, every day, and then go out and live your life, because, life really is meant to be lived. If it just becomes about, accumulation of money or stuff or just becoming an excellent trader, that's all good and fine, but really life is meant to be lived. And part of this whole process of having to leave Australia every 90 days, I get two things that want to show up. One, it really makes me appreciate the gift that I have to be here. And two, the 5 days that we end up taking off and traveling around, we've done this twice, traveled around New Zealand in a camper van. It really makes me appreciate, again, being here and appreciate life. And we get to cook literally out of the back of the van and camp in all sorts of weird and unusual spots. We find little places like public parks where we can camp and just camp. The third thing that shows up there that I really just want to toss out real quick, to me, life is a journey about us remembering that we are loved. It's not even about personal development or personal growth, even though that can be a part of life. But really, here's my question. If you got to the point in your life where you realized that life was nothing more than an opportunity to discover that you are love, that literally, you know, God created you as love, you know, whatever that means. You know, 4X is an opportunity for me to learn how to forgive myself, accept myself, discover me as love, discover the grace that's available for us. Traveling around in a camper van, another opportunity to discover me as love, to discover you as love, to discover forgiveness and acceptance of what is. You know, when you wake up on a beach that's beautiful and you realize you've got half a cup of water, you get to go, okay, cool, I can really beat myself up for not planning ahead. Or we can take a walk with an empty bottle and see who we meet and discover the possibility and enrich somebody else's life. I think we all have the capacity on whatever, it's like, from what I can tell, we're all on a path of realizing that we really are a loving awareness. That's what we are at our essence. You know, the spark behind your eyes is a loving awareness. And some of us, me, I get to trade Forex and be an internet marketer and share my world and discover if I can be accepted by the government as this being my home. In my heart, it's my home. In my body, it's my home. In the process of doing all this stuff with immigration and so on and so forth, I get to, again, just keep rediscovering me as love, the bureaucrat as love. We call them public servants here, by the way. I get to keep rediscovering love as our essence. And we can do that wherever we are with whatever we do. And, you know, living in a camper van, it reminds me of the homeless people. Something weird happened whenever I was spending a lot of time in Austin. I spent a lot of time with the homeless people. I find myself going downtown and just walking around and hanging out with homeless people. Mm-hmm. And I mention this because, again, it's they're a segment of society that gets judged a lot of times, just like addicts. And addicts and homeless people, people trading Forex, people in business, we're all on a journey of literally waking up, rediscovering ourselves as a loving awareness. And some of the neatest people that I've met were the homeless people in Austin. Having them learn, having them just being with them as they discover themselves as love, literally. And the same thing with the addicts. A lot of addicts are discovering, you know what, it's not the drug that'll make me happy or the porn or whatever. That they too are on a process of discovering themselves as love. So
that's what it's all about nowadays. I think this is the time for this vortex of energy to manifest of love, and everybody waking up and just suddenly, and you know, not everybody is waking up, but there's just, if we plant ourselves in different places, we can just, as we wake up, everybody else wakes up. That's the way I see it.
You betcha. You know, David Hawkins is a fellow I've gotten a lot of gifts from. And one of the things that David says, to keep it real simple, is, you know, one person living at the level of love or one act of love offsets thousands and thousands of acts of hate or lust.
Yes.
And literally,
yes.
In any moment, we can be in lust or we can be in love. And choosing to be in love, again, I can't choose the outcome in life. I can choose to produce a product. By the way, on the internet, my products that have sold the most are the ones that I least expected to.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that have sold the least are the ones that I thought would sell the most. So I can't control the outcome. I can make a product. I can market it. I can get into a trade. I can get out of a trade. So I can't control the external outcome. I can have it in mind and work towards it, quote, unquote, like the honeybee. But I can't control what the outcome will be. The honeybee doesn't know whether or not it will survive going in the flower. The honeybee may go in there, dance helplessly, and get eaten by a bird. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the honeybee can work in bliss. We can literally work in love. We can work in bliss. On today's show, I just want to love everybody that's listening. I want people to notice the love that we are. When I went outside yesterday and I was talking with the people that are cutting down the trees around here, again, I just walk up and just look at the guy, and I see the spark of love behind his eyes. And I know that's him. He's not a tree-cutting guy. That's his job. But what he is the essence of love. And I get to rock up to him, and we're both given to. You know, at any time, or I could hate him, you know, because he's cutting down the trees. And that will hurt him and hurt me and hurt
Yes, there's enough of that. We've all had enough of that now. that kind of stuff. You,
you
know,
bet.
It's fun to just let it go.
Yep.
Not, it's all in the past. Definitely.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, the only way we can say that it is to decide that it is. And it will
yeah,
be.
Yeah, you know what? Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward in the next 2 weeks or so. I'm going to have the opportunity to be hanging out in the city 2 days a week. And so I'm really looking forward to that because I can take my computer, find some Wi-Fi spots and trade or work from there, which is cool because I got like a 4-hour charge on my laptop, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But while I'm in the city, I get to just be love. You know, at any time, and this is a simple little example, but it's really profound. At any time, a group of teenage girls can walk into a room that I'm in, and if I love them as teenage girls, they get to experience a 45-year-old guy appreciating them as love.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if somebody lusts towards them, they get to have that imprinted on them, or that gets to exist in the universe, depending upon how you look at it. And literally, at any point in time, we can choose where are we coming from. Are we coming from love? Are we coming from lust? Are we coming from fear? Up until recently, I was having fearful stuff about whether or not immigration would accept me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it finally, and then, yeah, and again, this is something that's growing in me. I get to go, you know what? It's a miracle I'm alive. I was born at 2 pounds, 4 ounces, 3 months early. I got beat to death October 26, 1989. When I flew down here October 26th of last year, I met up with an acupuncturist friend of mine, and he looked at me with horror in his eyes. And he took
mm-hmm.
my pulses. That's one of the ways they diagnose. And he said, you're out of kidney energy. You should be dead.
Yeah.
You know, literally, I should have died last year, probably around November-ish. I'm still here. The miracle of life that I am, that you are, is still here. I'm still here in this body, which is beautiful. Where does it all lead? Who knows? But you know, if I approach it all with love, you know what? I love being here in Australia. I love living
mm-hmm.
in the home that I'm in. I love being with the people that I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
I get to, you know, I get to love and be loved. I get to give and be given to. And however it all works out, the only thing I can do is approach it with integrity and honesty. And, you know, here's another quick thought. Again, these are simple but so profound. We in life, there's the temptation to choose the easy way, and there's the invitation to choose the simple. In the invitation of the simple is being able to tell someone, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Simple is that fast. Easy is, nobody wants to be called easy. Nobody wants to be, you know, have people say they live on Easy Street and all that stuff. But the easy way often brings complications into our lives. It's easy to steal something. And a lot of people go that route. But
you
gosh, that
might,
brings so many complications. What's that?
I was going to say, easy could be seen as the path of least resistance for, you know, that is not a, in other words, the path of least resistance is to the knee-jerk resentment and or stealing something because you've always been stealing, or you know, you've been in this place of anger and rage, and so it's just easy to continue. It's a path of least resistance. You just continue along those same veins of negativity. But the simple life is one, like you're pointing out, of just pure being. You know, living
yes.
in the present moment and just being here now in love, as you say.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's so easy to function from programming, and it's so simple to just be with someone. It's easy to go, you pissed me off, and then put the blame outside of yourself. But that brings so much complication into the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
yeah, especially if they buy into that crappy story, versus just going, you know what, I feel anger. Okay, cool. I feel fear. Okay, I feel sadness. And if I can just drop from anger to fear to sadness and just notice that's the order they show up in me, and just notice, you know what, when it's all said and done, those are just drugs. What I am is love. You know, what I am is love. What you are is love. And if we can simply just be with one another and inspire one another and help each other outside of those easy programs into a simple life, gosh, everything gets to just blossom.
Yes. It is something that is simple, and it really isn't difficult. I think people think it's difficult, but it isn't. It really isn't. And I think working on ourselves is the only answer. And
yes,
there again is that word work. We're working,
yep,
on ourselves to evolve and to just, and it's not a gruesome word. It doesn't mean that I'm all tensed up or anything. It just means that I'm continuously cleaning myself out so that I can be closer to God or Goddess or the universal intelligence. But I have,
yes,
a question for you about the plants in Australia. Where you are and where you find yourself, do you see plants that you recognize, or do you actually see plants that you don't recognize?
You know, it's cool. About 70% of the plants are the same or similar, as far as, let's say, the weeds that we can eat. So, and going back to the native stuff, you know, the whole idea of plants are representative of the direction of the south, which is innocence, trust, and curiosity. So in the event that I get goofed in the head, and we all can do that, the head is a different realm, but literally in the event that I get goofed in the head, I can walk outside, walk around my beautiful yard, and go, oh, there's white clover, there's plantain, there's comfrey, there's some yarrow, there's all these plants that I can use for food, for medicine, for healing. And that reengages the curiosity, the innocence, and the trust. And curiosity, innocence, and trust with the Native American medicinal traditions, the reason why we put them there is plants can't run and hide.
Mm-hmm.
They literally have to live with innocence and trust and presence. And so, like, literally, about 70% of the plants are the same here. About 30% are pretty different. And it's really wild because, it just reminds me of how universal this all is. You know, it really is. These teachings are absolutely universal, and it's a blessing to have this kind of stuff. You know, it's one thing to say, you know what, I'm going to live with the innocence, trust, and curiosity of a child. It's another thing to walk outside and have the plants remind me of that continuously.
Right.
It's beautiful because I don't have to believe in God because I notice God. I don't have to believe,
mm-hmm,
in love because I notice it. I don't have to believe in the power of forgiveness because, you know, it's there. It's so apparent.
You experience, I think, experiencing it. You don't have to believe in it because you experience it.
Yes, yes. It's funny. You know, when we were at LeBron's Bay and we had like half a cup of water, and it's like time to take a walk and meet people. Oh, what a hoot! Because literally there's that innocence and trust of the child showing up where we get to walk up to a stranger's house and say, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the hippie van on the beach and we're out of water. Could we buy some? What a neat way to live life. What a neat way to really, again, that's the innocence, trust, and curiosity of the plant kingdom. What
that's
a neat
funny
thing that, yes.
Carol is on the line. Let's bring her on. Just a minute.
Cool. Hello.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Good, good. Hey, just want to ask you something, both of you. How do you feel,
cool,
about the idea of being happy with yourself and complete with yourself? Because
yes,
I've noticed now, like recently, to get into a relationship with anybody, whether it's business, personal, whatever, if you're not complete with yourself,
yes,
or happy with yourself or love yourself, there is a problem,
yes,
with trying to relate with somebody else. Do you guys agree,
yes,
or am I just like out there somewhere?
No, that's
cool.
Absolutely true. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I've noticed a lot of people that I've talked to, like I started a job recently in housekeeping at the local Holiday Inn, and I love it. I love my job. I'll never go back to an office job again. But a lot of the people I sit and I listen to on our breaks, it's like, I can't believe these people, and I want to say something to them, but me being the new girl, I don't want to be like, who the hell is she, this bitch, you know? But I notice, like, a lot of them don't seem like they're happy with themselves, and they're complaining about the other person. It's like, you know, look at yourself first. If you're not complete with yourself, if you're not happy with yourself, mm-hmm. what are you doing in the relationship?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about Ho'oponopono, you know, Ho'oponopono. When the stuff that comes up in you in response to them, you can just clean that stuff and not worry about it being them. Because
right,
I know how it is. I've been working in the workplace for, 27 years full time. And, you know, it's not, we've talked about that before. That's neither here nor there. But the thing is, I've learned not to confront people on their stuff, because if I see it, then it's my stuff. And so
right.
I need to clean it out. So that, if
right.
that's any help, I think that might be of help.
Yeah, because a lot of time I've said to a couple of them, and they look at me like I have, like, you know, horns growing out of my head. It's like, well, how can you say this about that person when, you know, if you're not satisfied with yourself, then you're not going to be satisfied with somebody else.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, okay. I just didn't know if I was on, like, the same, you know, path, because I tell you what, I feel, like, so good right now. I am doing what I love to do. I feel so good. I catch myself very often, which is very rarely right now. I mean, often when I have a negative thought coming in, which is very
mm-hmm.
rare, I can get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it seems like things are so positive with me right now. So, and I think it's because I'm okay with myself. I can live with myself.
Yes.
I'm happy with myself. You know, so.
It's obvious that you love yourself.
Oh, I do.
Yes. When we realize that we're love, it's easy to love other people and to be the love that we are. Yes, yes. Werner Erhard, when we did Remarkable, I don't know if we brought this up in the course, but Werner brought out a really good distinction between the difference between a relationship and being involved with somebody. Being involved means you're sharing bullshit, patterns, and problems. And that's all. So in other words, we're going to find a if we're involved, we find a reason to keep each other stuck so we can basically have the bitch fest. On the other hand, if we're having an honest-to-God relationship, we get to function as love and as possibility for and with each other. And that's huge. And again, it's a choice. Where are we coming from? If we realize we're love, honest-to-goodness, we can be love and we can love other people. And on the other hand, if we go, I'm incomplete, and then fear and desire and anger and all that crap shows up, then we can't help but just be a burden for each other.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, right now, like, I don't think I've ever felt as good about myself as I do right now. It's
mm-hmm.
just really bizarre. And everybody's telling me, like, wow, you look great. You look fabulous. What are you doing? It's like, I do know, but I'm not giving my secret away, you know.
Well, you're obviously happy, and this is really great that we can talk about this. Because people, you know, often feel that when something like what happened to the two of you happens, that everybody's in agony, everybody's pissed off, everybody is in resentment, and the two of you are a wonderful example of how not to be, or actually of how to be, whatever
well,
way you want to look at it.
I do want to tell you one thing, and I've told him this too. When all this first transpired, I better not use a bad word. I wanted to kill him. I mean, I was really very, very angry. But
uh-huh.
it only took me a week to realize something, which I cannot reveal at this time, and that's something that he said earlier, that I have things in motion that I can't tell him.
Yeah.
You know, I realized something about a week after everything transpired, and it's like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. And I've accepted it, I've forgiven him, and I've told him to forgive himself, because everything is fine. Everything's
yes.
fine. Everything's going to be fine.
This is how it's supposed to be. But what if we really were roses, all blossoming perfectly? Instead of asserting that everything's imperfect in the struggle, what if we really were roses blossoming perfectly?
Well, which we are. We are,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree, yeah. Because we're all,
cool.
We are all on the path we are supposed to be on. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes
mm-hmm.
the path gets a little bit thorny, but this is how it's supposed to be.
Yes, and we learn so much from those times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we've come to the end of the hour. We can continue chatting, though, and it will stream off, you know. But so I just wanted to let you know that it is the end of the show. But really, Carol, what you're saying is so cool. You made an amazing turnaround in such a short time, really. You said a week, didn't you? 1 week.
Something hit me, and I realized something, and like I said, that's not going to be revealed yet. there's just something that I just cannot let out yet, but I
will.
Yeah,
but I can only imagine what it is. I mean, because we're all on the same journey, and I've come to a lot of realizations myself, it's not as difficult as it used to be in terms of making that transition from love to fear. But I can't just take anything for granted. It's a continuous process, and I just continue to, it's not like, well, one day it's done and I don't have to do any more work. That's not the way it is.
Right, right. Well, this was like a V8 moment. I mean, it struck me like wow, I could have had a V8. I mean, it was so profound that it actually shocked me. It really did.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, it was one of those V8 moments. So it will be revealed when the time is right. But
well,
I look forward to that.
I look forward to knowing what that is.
Yeah. And I'm sure somebody else will too, won't you?
Yeah.
Hey, I definitely have told you that. You know what's cool with all of this? Really, there's an opening. One of the things that's shown up repeatedly with us in many conversations is there's something much bigger than us as individuals at work here.
And it's
simple, profound, shocking, literally. Like, it's like when I tell people, you don't know what's around the next corner. Most people cringe when I say that. But it's like, honest mm-hmm. to God, you don't know the miracle that's around the next corner. You don't know
that's
the possibility
best.
That's around the next corner. Yes.
Right.
Literally, we can walk through life closing down, or we can walk through life opening up. And opening
mm-hmm.
up, I can't help but give to you and to Carol and to the listeners, and you can't help but give to me. But if we close down... in order to accept, we've got to open up our hand and literally open up. It goes face up to accept something, to accept a gift. All of life is like this. Literally, the flower opens up, and that's how the beauty is revealed. If we open up to possibility, here's a cool little two things that we've been exploring here too. Trying to increase the probability complicates things. Opening up to possibility. When working with the Forex folks, one of the things that the main guru here keeps saying is, look for excuses to trade with the trend. When I say trade with the trend in Forex, that's a real specific thing. You're looking for a trend on a chart. In life, what if the trend, honest to God, was love, forgiveness, acceptance? Those are the energies that move us forward. Look
mm-hmm,
for any
mm-hmm.
excuse to forgive. Look for any excuse to accept. Look for any excuse to give.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that change versus I'm going to find a reason to remain pissed off, or I'm going to find a reason to be in fear. Fuck that. Sorry.
I wanted to say that word earlier, and I didn't. Go ahead.
Yeah, it just shows up, don't it? We've got a choice. We can either F something, or we can make love. And making
mm-hmm.
love is what's going on here now. Making love is really what it's about, because if the teenager, when I was on a plane, I flew to Adelaide 2 weeks ago, and there are these three teenage girls across the aisle from me, and they were adorable.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pleasure to look over and just love them as teenage girls. Teenage boy, I couldn't have done that. As a teenage boy, I would have just gone, but as a 45-year-old man where I am in life right now, I got to look over and go, God, they're beautiful kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're just beautiful kids. They're doing what teenage girls do, which is beautiful.
I think it was Mark Twain said that youth is wasted on the young, you know?
Oh, yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth.
Oh, yeah. It's great. The longer we live, the longer we love. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the whole idea of thinking we have to settle down and be married is something that isn't for everybody, and we just need to love the whole human race, I think.
Right.
We love,
right.
love everybody. Love everything.
Yeah. Who's to say people have to couple up? Why can't you just be love for everybody? You know,
that's what
and I'm
think.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Love doesn't mean sex. Love doesn't mean all that other crap. I mean, love is a real, I hate to say like intimate feeling, because intimate, a lot of people, when you say intimate, means the sex thing. But it's not, you know.
No.
But,
yeah.
And, you know, it goes back to loving yourself. You can love other people, but I really don't think you can truly love other people until you actually love yourself. And if you have all that love out there to share, people are going to know. People are going to want to be around you. People are going to want to listen to what you have to say. You know?
Yeah, the world is your home, not just, you know, your immediate family and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'll never forget back when I first started nursing school, there was a test question about whether your family was more important or other people, like the world, and the people in the world were more important. I said, well, people in the world are more important. And I got the test question wrong.
What? You're kidding.
No, I really have never forgotten that as long as I live, because I always thought that they were wrong and I was right.
Well, it's like, you know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is funny.
Huh.
Well, this has been very delightful. I just love it, really. When you think about how we all kind of evolved through the show, it's just beautiful, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you, and thank you for letting me open my big mouth on here.
I know. You know, of all the times that you guys were on the show, you were too shy to come on, and now you're not. Think about it.
I know.
That's
it's
so cool.
Like there's something's changed in me, Kate. I don't know what it is. I just, I'm letting crap out, and this is where I am now. It's weird. It's like I found myself, and are you still on there? Is he still
we're
on
here.
There?
We're
oh,
on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still here. Yep.
It's like, I'm just like, I'm a new person. I'm more open. People look at me like, where did she come from? It's like, hey, it's me. It's kind of always been me, but I kind of laid back there for a while, and okay, here I am. If you don't like me, tough shit.
Yeah. I love it. So when you create this thing where you come out and tell the world what it was that empowered you, you can come on the show and tell us.
Oh, I intend on it. I am planning on it, because it's really, there's something in me that needs to be said, that needs to be out there, and I'm thinking it's a good thing.
No, I know it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I know it is. And, I'll let everybody know, and it'll probably be pretty soon.
Wonderful. So, does anybody have anything else to say? I think we said a lot here. It's been very like simple and profound. So,
thank you so much for letting me talk. I mean, I know it's his show, but
no. And 20, we miss you. We really do. But
it's really great to be back. When life is good. Life's a gift, and you're really getting that. You know, I listen to Carol, and we talk regularly, and it's great to hook up on the show and share with the audience and stuff like that. Really, life is an adventure. It is about giving. It is about really discovering and accepting who you are and what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I look at what Carol's up to, and I talk to her, and you know, and your energy as well, you know, this whole thing of opening up, you know, literally we are like roses. We are like eagles. You know, if we...
We're blooming.
You know.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, like literally, for the eagle to fly, it has to let go of what's in its talons.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, yeah, I mean, there's just... You know, when we really start to embrace what's possible for us, really, we can't help but discover ourselves as love and possibility and find out how we get to give. And, you know, Peter and Eileen, I forget their last name, but the Findhorn people?
Yes, yes.
Findhorn, literally, they discovered where they needed to be on the planet. And they discovered what they needed to be doing. There was three of them. There was a third one. I forget which one, or what the third one's name was. But literally, these three people discovered where they needed to be on the planet and what they needed to be doing. And they started growing vegetables on this sandy beach where nothing would grow. And they grew these huge vegetables. It was really, really cool. We all get to do that. And we all have the temptation. The invitation is to be where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do. And as far as I can tell, in the process of doing that, we really get to discover ourselves as love. And if we do that, we can't help but be a blessing to everyone around us and to literally be reborn. I look at Carol being reborn. I know I've been reborn. Every instant is an opportunity to be reborn. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to share the time with you two and the listeners and yeah, rock and roll. You know, life is a tremendous gift, and I'm thankful for all the people that share it with me.
Yes.
Cool.
It is really great. So we will do this again when Carol comes on and tells us her secret. You could get on. You can come back on, 20, and that would be a fun time. So.
Yeah, maybe
cool.
You can call in when I decide to come in and see what happens. Huh?
Yes. Yeah, exactly, yeah. No plan.
That'll be so cool. Yeah, I do want to get on your show. So.
And
I got to reveal the secret.
Show flow. Well, I love you both, and I'm glad that your fairy tale is evolving for everybody else to learn and to grow as well. So it's great.
I love you too, Kate.
Yeah. I'm going to play.
One of these days I'm going to get out to visit you. I don't know when with my work schedule, but one of these days.
What we could do, Carol, is meet halfway. We could decide.
Yeah, that's true. We could do that.
Just, you know, meet at a Howard Johnson restaurant or something. That would
heck
be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
So love you both, and I'm going to play music for Mother and Child, and until we meet again, okay?
Okay. Talk to you soon,
bye.
Kate. Love you.
Love you, too.
See ya.
Bye, 20. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.